Several years ago, I was working in a parish, and there was a man there, a young man who helped to answer telephones on the weekend. He was about 20 years old, I think, and he was an expert in everything dealing with Star Wars. And he knew all of the ships and all of the characters and all of the storylines. And I was a Star Trek fan, so I used to kind of have little debates with him. And I used to say things like the USS Enterprise from Star Trek could easily destroy the Death Star from Star Wars or destroy a Star Destroyer or something like that. He didn't really like to hear that. But I also knew Star Wars, so we could relate on some of the stories. And I had asked him, I said, you know, if I were a character in Star Wars, who would I be? Based on your knowledge of Star Wars and your knowledge of me, who would I be in the Star Wars universe? And he says, well, that's easy, Father Jason. You'd be a Jedi Master. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know, because the Jedi Master is in the Star Wars world is really important and has a lot of power, but he doesn't use that power for himself. He uses the power with great respect and reverence and dignity and humility. A Jedi Master is going to go through many battles, and he's going to fight many battles that he just barely survives, and he's probably going to be killed at some point. But anyway, really important to the story of Star Wars, and I was like, wow, a Jedi Master, that's pretty cool. But, you know, Star Wars is an interesting phenomenon in the world of entertainment. I actually saw the newest movie. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you if you haven't seen it. But the thing about Star Wars that amazes me is that it has stood the test of time. There are many different generations who love Star Wars. When George Lucas released the first films back in the 1970s, he probably didn't think that in 2017 people would be still loving Star Wars. And there are children who love Star Wars, who know it up one side and down the other. And the thing about Star Wars that makes it so interesting for people for many generations is within all of the movies, there's a dramatic story. There's a narrative thread that unites one movie to the next, and all the different parts of the movies to each other. And when people know the story, they love every film that comes out. The story helps them to understand every tiny detail of each film of Star Wars. In fact, someone will watch a movie of Star Wars, and if they know the story, they will notice tiny things in the movie that really don't merit much attention, but in relationship to the story, are very important. They'll notice them and point them out. But if you don't know the story, then Star Wars doesn't have meaning for you. You'll go to the theater and feel totally lost. You feel kind of isolated from the rest of the people who know the story up one side and down the other. I was once listening to a talk about psychology, and they were saying that young people today suffer often from depression and anxiety because they don't know the story of their own lives. They don't know where they fit in to the grand scheme of things. They feel kind of lost in life. And the thing is we need to have some connection to a story to kind of get our bearings. You know, if you go to a Star Wars movie and you don't know the story, you feel like you're tossed about by it one scene after the next. Nothing seems to relate to the other, and you kind of really don't know what's going on. Well, in our own lives, we can get to that point too, where we can feel lost. We can feel almost depressed that people around us seem to have a part or an investment in the story, and we don't. We don't seem to understand it. So we have to come to understand a story in our life. And you know, every single one of us right now has many stories unfolding in our individual lives. For some of us, these stories are beautiful and awesome, and they give us joy and hope. For others, this story can be very hard to deal with. We don't want to even pay attention to it. We try to escape from it and ignore it, whatever it could be. But you know, there is another story that is greater, that's above all stories, and it's real. And it's a story of redemption in Christ. It's a story of God who created everything. And you know, that portion of the story right there, that God created everything, helps us, if we understand that, helps us to understand the goodness of life. And if you don't understand that, then you can easily lose this sense of the goodness of life. It's a story of the fall of humanity into sin, to the darkness of sin and evil and death. And it's a story of salvation, of God sending his son Jesus to save us from sin, from death, and from evil, and to give us new hope. And this story is real. It's the fullness of reality, and it's our story. At Mass each Sunday, we say the Creed, or when we pray the Rosary, we say the Creed. And the word Creed comes from the Latin word credo, which means I believe. And the Creed is kind of like, you know, in Star Wars, when each film begins, they have this scrolling text that goes by in the beginning that tells you the story. Well, the Creed is like our scrolling text for the whole story of redemption in Christ. And it tells us what's going on. Sometimes in my own life, when I'm going through some hardship or confusing situation that I don't know how to move with, I will take out the Creed and I'll read it very slowly. And I will let it remind me of what's really going on right now is redemption. The fullness of reality right now in my life and everybody's life is God is drawing people to himself in Christ, saving the world. So we have to know this story. The Creed is like a little summary of the great story of creation, of the fall of humanity into sin, of redemption in Christ. But we can't stop there. We have to go to the next level. Because if we just stop there and just believe in the Creed and the story, but don't really relate to it, we won't practice our religion. Because at the very heart of our religion is this story. The next level we have to go is the sacraments. The sacraments have to be part of our lives regularly. When we're baptized, our lives are brought into this story. When we go to confession and when we go to the Eucharist, it's like we're renewing our contact with this great story of redemption in Christ. And the next level of our involvement in this great story of redemption is morality, the Ten Commandments, the teaching of Christ in the Church. Often we see morality as a code of conduct that's imposed upon us by someone else. You know, we feel like we have all these rules that say, don't do this, don't do that, you have to do this, you have to do this right. And we can't really sustain that. That kind of robs morality of its interior meaning and of its joy. Morality is our personal part in the story. And you know, if you think about it, this is awesome. Because every single day, every one of us faces moral decisions. And some of them are really little moral decisions. Others are huge ones. And over time, these moral decisions either can move us in the right direction or the wrong direction. We have to see morality as our role in this great story of redemption in Christ. In this way, morality becomes a great positive move in our life, something that gives us direction and inspiration and guides us on the way. And finally, prayer. Prayer is how we grow in relationship to the author of the story. You know, in Star Wars, people who love Star Wars would love to have a conversation with George Lucas. Well, the author of this great story of redemption is God himself, and we can contact God in prayer. It's so easy. All these things together, faith, the sacraments, morality, and prayer, help us to live the greatest story ever that's real. If you look at all of the saints, the apostles and the saints and the martyrs and all the people who have followed Christ down through the ages, something was inspiring them. Something was driving them on. You know, someone like St. Paul only dedicated the last chapter of his life to following Christ and to leading people to know him. And he put up with all kinds of hardship and trouble. He was betrayed by false brothers. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked, imprisoned many times. He was put on trial with crooked judges and stuff like that. And he had a joy about it. And he kept following Christ. What motivated him was not just a set of doctrines from the outside, but it was he knew the story. And he knew that he was part of this great story of redemption. He knew he was part of God's plan of writing a new story of human history that transcends evil and sin and death. Well, this is true for us also. When we follow Christ, we're taking the many stories unfolding in our lives right now, and we're bringing them to the Lord Jesus, and we're asking him to redeem these stories, to lift them up and to make us new. And so, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the great feast of Christmas and even throughout the year when we celebrate all of the other great feast days of Christmas and Easter and salvation in Christ, we should allow these events to reconnect us once more to the most important story, the greatest story ever, the story of Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep. This will give us the meaning, the purpose, the grounding, our bearings, and the hope that we always want. We have a part in this story. It's our story also. So brothers and sisters, let us renew our living, our part in this story each day. This is a story that stands the test of time, but not only that, it stands the test of eternity. God bless you.